Good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are. This is Chris in a hoodie out on the, in a storm. I hope that your audio is able to tone down the volume if it's too loud, but I'm using Aftershocks earphones that sit outside your ear and placed inside a hoodie. They're spectacular on a windy day. But anyway, let's get to the point of today's conversation. And when I work with my clients, whether it's a corporation or a family or an individual, I have to ask the first question. And every single time, I have to get a unique answer. Who am I competing against? So it would seem ironic that someone would come for coaching and say, Chris, coach me, and then I have to compete with somebody else to help them be coached. But it, every single time, there is somebody. Now, 50% or 60% of the time, it's the individual themselves, which is even more surprising. And the individual will say, this is what I know, this is what you're telling me. Chris, you have a competitor in what you're telling me. The competitor is what I already know. And you have to wrestle with that competitor and do a toe-to-toe combative experience with that competitor, because what I already know got me to here. I don't want to let go of it in case you're wrong. And I really, really understand the competitive nature of consulting and advisory. It's, in a sense, releasing some degree of control to somebody you may or who may or may not be right. And self-control becomes a pretty important manner. Man, the waves are so huge. I hope you can hear them through the microphone, but I'm standing on a cliff top here and holy moly, schmoly moly. Oof. Anyway, I'm walking around to Bronte at the moment, and Bronte is just white. White with froth. I'll take a photo for y'all and put it as the cover of this podcast, but it's quite spectacular. And of course, the movie on my Instagram is probably the smarter way to view it. But why is it? So 50% of the time I'm competing with the individual who's asking for help. It's like going to the doctor and saying, look, I looked up Google and Google has told me that that big green thing growing out of the side of my leg isn't a problem. What do you think? And the doctor's sitting there going, shoot, well, you came to me with a green thing going out the side of your leg. How come I have to compete with Google to tell you that you're about to lose your leg? The thing about coaching is you have the greatest gift of all, and you have the wisdom of hindsight. And because, for example, I've been married 5 times, wisdom of hindsight. I've owned 6 businesses I've built and sold, not all easy, wisdom of hindsight. I've studied things in the Himalaya, wisdom of hindsight. So you're not smarter than anybody else, you've just got the wisdom of hindsight. And with that wisdom of hindsight, there comes a responsibility, and that is to find structures or process that you can sort of teach that give people the wisdom of hindsight without the cost of experience. And that's fundamentally the necessity of a coach or a consultant, is to give an organization or an individual the wisdom of hindsight without having to go through the thing that's going to give them hindsight. And that means modeling and explanations. And that's why I use the laws of nature to help explain things to a coach. But when you share the wisdom of hindsight, you have to be very careful, because my experience of going through something might not be the same as somebody else's. So we have to be considerate that we don't talk specifics, more it's models that say, well, I learned this, and what I learned was there's balance, there's 2 sides to everything. So there needs to end up with a principle. And you're not teaching so much what you've experienced in your life, you're teaching the repeated application of a principle. And if that principle stands the test of time, then you're teaching something that's really important for somebody else to have. That means they don't have to have a lifetime of experience to learn that there's two sides to everything, etc., etc. But the other 50% of competitors to coaching are hidden. They're hidden from the coaching equation. And they can be an ex-partner, a parent, giving their daughter some worldly advice that's coming from absolutely no wisdom at all, but lots of experience, protective experience. It can be a spouse. I would say of the 50% that's not self-competitive, I would say 40% of the remaining competitor comes from spouse. Now, I love relationships. To be married so many times means I think they're so important. And they're so important to be good. They're so important to be good. But the worst thing we can do is we can milk a relationship for advice. Our spouse has no experience more than us, usually no knowledge of the field they're giving advice about. What they're doing is saying, to protect our family, to protect our relationship, you should do this. My experience has been, and using the principles of which I teach, the only five principles on which everything I teach stands, taking advice from someone you're a friend with or connected to or attached to, taking advice from that person is really unwise. It's also unwise to give advice if you're attached to the person as a partner or close friend, because subjectivity comes into it, and objectivity, which is the essential nature of good advice, goes out. I understand the competitive nature of listening. You have what you already think. You have competing advices from different sources. You have what you want to think. You have what you want the world to go like. You have how you would like things to turn out like. And then you have advice. And you have to be careful where you get it from. The worst advice you'll ever get is from a book that other people bought. Mass advice is junk. Because you're not a mass. You're a one. Your story. Your situation. And that's why continually I only talk about five principles in the entirety of all my coaching. And I just repeat them, because then the advice becomes completely and utterly objective. Application of that, those principles, becomes the experience of life. And if I can teach you to apply those principles before you have the experience, then we've just saved you a massive amount of money and a massive amount of personal energy and cost. And that's over and over again the spectacular nature of inner wealth coaching, because I believe every human being on this earth is amazing. The trouble is they have to go through experience to learn it. And I think by learning the five principles, applying those five principles, we learn faster. And really, what a gift. What a gift to find out that you're a totally amazing person years before you're finished living on this earth. What a gift to be able to learn it while your kids are young, so that you pass on to them this amazing gift of you without having to go through a multitude of experiences to realize that you could have been or should have been, or what's possible to have been, a better mum or dad. To being able to turn up more, to being able to be less reactive, to be much more yourself, and pass on that gift of inheritance to the children, rather than be focused on how many dollars they'll all end up having not to earn and how much they will enjoy spending what they didn't earn. Competitive, when you're business consultant, you're competing with the internal culture of the firm, you're competing with 50% of the human beings in the business will fight consulting advice. 50% want to go forward, 50% want to go backwards, and you end up at the pace of consulting, how fast you can change a business without firing 50% of the human beings in the business. In a training workshop, 50% of the energy in the room will be for you, 50% against. And you can delude yourself that, you know, by doing a speaking course, you can recruit 100% of the people in the room, or 90 or 80, but you don't. Because the people in the room who stand up and say, yes, I really agree with everything you said, go home, tell their spouse, and the spouse is the competitor. And the spouse says no. And then they immediately disown what they've learned. Individuality is a really, really tough gig. Sometimes you're faced with decisions like doing something your spouse doesn't like, and they threaten you with withdrawal of their affection, or withdrawal of their permission, or withdrawal of their love, or withdrawal of their approval. And then you realize what your addiction is. Your addiction isn't to your partner, it's to their approval, or to their acceptance, or to their acknowledgement. So you've transferred from daddy to mummy to partner. And this transference, this codependency of addiction to a partner to get approval, is just a piece of timeline, because eventually you will take it back and you will own it. But unfortunately for some people, it may only be in the last dying breaths of their life, of which I've seen. So jump the gun, get ahead of the curve, learn the five principles, apply them. They're universal. I'm not saying they're mine. They belong to the universe, and you can see them over and over again in nature. Apply them. When you can't apply them, you need coaching. And that's the wisdom of hindsight applied before experience. It's Chris. Have a beautiful day now. Bye. Thank you.